So nice to sit together. So again, welcome to everyone. I shared this with Tolan earlier, but that my morning began with letting the dogs out, and they have a pretty big backyard. They ran in the back of the yard. They were gone for a while. I needed to get my daughter out of the house, and we're like, where are they? Calling for the dogs. And I go up to the back, and they were had gotten under the fence and went up the hill. And I see them running up the hill. I'm like, oh no, what am I going to do? And then I see my Australian Shepherd, who some of you have seen, come flying down the hill. He's being chased by a coyote, and not a little coyote, but a ginormous coyote. I was like, oh no. And my other dog is up there kind of watching. Well, actually, I couldn't see the other dog. I'm like, oh no, did he get my other dog? So my dogs are fine. Got the dog in and then watched the coyote. He was hunting something, and he ran up the hill carrying something massive in his mouth. So it was sitting with one, glad my dogs are okay, but just that scene of this one being chased by this big coyote. And really, I don't know if this picture behind me is of a coyote. And I used to have a dog that was part coyote. And so this morning, kind of reflecting on like, what is this trickster energy that's around, and how, but this is my personally, but then just wanting to share that with the group of just where, just I'm going to come back to it, but just sort of naming that as that was sort of how my day began. and that was not part of the intended Dharma talk, but I'm going to weave it in, and really wanting to honor in this time together the change of seasons, right? We have crossed over into fall. And that, I'm guessing for most of us, aware of the sort of the difference in light, cooler temperatures. Here this morning, it was also where I was dropping my daughter off, was very, very foggy, and it's such a welcome relief to the heat, the fire season, which is somewhat of a lulling us into perhaps a false sense of security about fire season being over. I'm sure it's not, but just this change of season and what happens in the coolness of the mornings for some of us, and what happens. And again, as Tolan and I were checking in this morning about the shift into, oh, the light is leaving, right? The long summer days, depending on where we are. I know a woman from Hawaii who's joining us, it stays pretty even throughout the year. So of course, for depending on where we are geographically, the swings are modulated, right? But in cyclically, or in this time of leaning into the darkness, it's coming. And I wanted to just play with this edge today, not to like drop us into something really depressing and terrible, but just how can we, while it's still pretty light, sort of orient to the season that we are now in, right? The next couple months until obviously December 21st, it will just start to get, as it has been since June, but more so now, more pronounced, sort of ever getting more dark. And how can we move with this season? Right, we can be so conditioned in our lives to not really have to modulate ourselves based upon the seasons because of heat in the house and electricity and all these many conveniences, obviously, that we have. But there's sort of the disconnect that can come with what would cyclically be, what is cyclically happening with the earth, with our own bodies, and this misattunement that can happen when we carry on as if it's still summer, as leaves are falling, you know, things are getting ready to hibernate and getting preparing. This is a time of harvest, of gathering things together to prepare. So to kind of play with that image today of sort of what are we doing now to kind of prepare for the darkness that's coming. And oh man, these are really challenging times. The stress, the never-ending stress of COVID and Delta and whatever other variants may be out there. And are we open or not? What's happening around us? There's a lot. I don't need to list all the things externally that are going on, but there's a level of anxiety almost not made worse, but there was sort of a sense of false hope that maybe May, June, like, ooh, we're doing great. And now we're sort of back in this other time. And how do we meet this internally with how our own responses, and externally, how do we meet this darkness in a way that it can be a provider of wisdom as opposed to, oh my God, it's so depressing. And that might be in there too, but just wanting to have a little bit of space here just to consider, how do we want to use this time to prepare? You know, we're not necessarily gathering our nuts, but maybe. And what if we did? What might we actually want to reach for? And with these teachings that really point us to a quality of slowing down and awareness such that we can make choices, you know, that ability to reflect upon the way the mind works, or watching, whoa, my mind's really out of control, or freaking out about something, but I can watch it. Amazing. Because in that capacity to watch and observe is space. I don't have to believe everything my mind is generating. Can be kind of revolutionary as an idea, and sort of as we consider what's going to most serve us at this time in the cycle of that we're in, right? What are we most needing? What are we wanting to take in? What's going to be nourishing? Do we know? Do we actually know what truly nourishes? We can have a list of things we should be doing every day, like yoga and meditating and eating kale and not drinking too much coffee. Sort of all the list of ways that we can take care of ourselves that we know. And some of us, we do that all the time. Sometimes that's too much of a to-do list. And okay, so yes, we know all the things we should do. What do we actually do? You know, and where is sort of Tara Brach talks about this in her book, True Refuges, or what are the true refuges and what are the false ones? And sometimes we sort of ping pong between the two. Because we do. We can't always be striving to improve ourselves. This can get exhausting. But noticing what's what. You know, sometimes checking out for a time, watching Netflix or something, that's great. That might be just what we need. But as long as we pay attention, how do I feel after this? I feel totally sprung out or exhausted. It's that checking in with that which we habituate to. Is it serving us? That line I think I shared 2 weeks ago from some Sylvia Bornstein, like we're one habit away from freedom. So what are our habits of self-care? Those that work in the long term and those that are much more short-term care. And not to judge or blame or criticize or feel bad about ourselves for not always on the list of long-term care that we read about that we should be doing, but actually allowing ourselves to be honest. What are we doing? And how are we actually showing up? And for me, as I've been reflecting upon the very strong presence of the coyote this morning, that trickster energy of like, in what ways am I kind of fooling myself about things? And kind of wanting to honor that we all can do that in different ways of holding on to a belief because we've been conditioned to believe it. Is it true? Is it actually applicable or congruent with the values that we have? And can we then have the courage to say, no, to step out of that which we may expect of ourselves or that we know others expect of us, to actually be able to stand in accordance with what's true for us, what we really value, what we know to be true, capital T, true. And to borrow from D.H. Lawrence's line, you know, man is not happy doing what he likes. Must dive in to find what he truly loves. And that takes some diving, right? I've mangled that quote, but that's the gist. How do we actually allow ourselves to drop down deep enough into a place where we can discover, well, what is true? And this can be one of the gifts of leaning into the darkness, right? A chance of reflection and quiet. And less stimulation. And that might not actually be what happens because we are going on with our lives. But even just to internally consider, what would it be like if I start to allow the honoring of the season that we're in, this turning towards the darkness, as a chance to really open up to what am I doing here with this life, this one precious life? Am I breathing just a little and calling it a life, to borrow from Mary Oliver? Is it enough? And to be, even though I say that, there's an edge that comes up for me of not getting caught in the sense of I'm not doing enough, or my life isn't working, or something's not wrong, like a judgment, not coming from a place of judgment, but rather an opening through a sense of compassion and wisdom that line that I often bring in, sort of, can we create a clearing in the dense busyness of our lives such that we can reflect upon what's actually happening, you know, on a day-to-day basis in the arc of our lives. And some things work, that's great, and some things don't, and sometimes those things that don't work can't be changed, right? That's how it goes. Okay, so how can we relate to, with wisdom, that which we can't change, right? You know, it's a little line from, I think, the AA, like, you know, the wisdom to know the difference, that what we can change, that what we can't. In this practice, by being able to cultivate a sense of stillness within this body and this mind, be it moment to moment or otherwise, therein lies the opportunity for freedom because of the choice, right? So I'm going to share a poem. As Much As You Can by Constantine Cavafy. Cavafy. As much as you can. And if you can't shape your life the way you want, at least try to get as much as you can. At least try as much as you can not to degrade it by too much contact with the world, by too much activity and talk. Try not to degrade it by dragging it along, taking it around and exposing it so often to the daily silliness of social events and parties until it becomes to seem a boring hanger-on. Try as best we can. How do we try as best we can to live a life that has a sense of meaning? Which means what? It will mean different things to each one of us. And it takes effort to reflect upon what actually brings us meaning, because we can be conditioned to move along on the path of what we're expected to do. And this practice of really going against the stream of that kind of conditioning can say, wait, slow down. What's true? What's actually happening in your life? From Rumi, Night and Sleep. At the time of night prayer, as the sun slides down, the route the senses walk on closes, the route to the invisible opens. The angel of sleep then gathers and drives along the spirits, just as the mountain keeper gathers his sheep on a slope. And what amazing sights he offers to the descending sheep, cities with sparkling streets, heights, gardens, and emerald pastures. The spirit sees astounding beings, turtles turn to men, men turn to angels, where sleep erases the banal. I think one could say the spirit goes back to its old home. It no longer remembers where it lives. It loses its fatigue. It carries around in life so many griefs and loads and trembles under their weight. They're gone. It is all well. This movement between nighttime dreaming and daytime dreaming. I referenced this guy before that I've been working with, John Lockley, has a quote about our daydream informs the night dream. The night dreams inform the daydreams. Can we allow ourselves to be in this cycle, this rhythm of darkness and light, of dreaming, daydream, night dream, fall into winter? Sort of the most classic phrase about coming into the dark from St. John of the Cross's Dark Night of the Soul. I wanted to share this poem. On a dark night, kindled in love with yearning, oh happy chance, I went forth without being observed, my house now being at rest in darkness and secure. By the secret ladder disguised, oh happy chance, in darkness and concealment, my house being now at rest in the happy night, in secret when none saw me nor I beheld not. Without light or guide, save that which burned in my heart, this light guided me more surely than the light of noonday to the place where he, well, I knew who, was awaiting me, a place where none appeared. O night that guided me, O night more lovely than dawn. O night that joined beloved with lover, lover transformed in the beloved upon my flowery breast, kept holy for himself alone. There he lay sleeping, and I caressed him, the fanning of the cedars made a breeze. The breeze blew the turret. As I parted his locks with his gentle hand, he wound my neck. and caused all my senses to be suspended. I remained lost in oblivion. My face reclined on the beloved. All ceased, and I abandoned myself, leaving my cares forgotten among the lilies. I invite you to close your eyes. And to consider this invitation of, oh night, can we allow this night to guide us? To not look for the light to guide, but to allow the mind and the body to rest in this darkness. This darkness is the fertile womb of creativity and thought and vitality. That this gift of leaning into a darkness that can keep at bay all this silliness of social events and talk. This darkness that can free us from the busy chatter of our days. This darkness that again can provide this womb-like energy for exploration and acceptance of what's true. How can we allow whatever trickster energy comes into our lives that can point to where we're caught, where we deceive ourselves, where we're lying to ourselves, and say, why? Is this helping me? And ask us to consider this as darkness is coming and as the months will proceed, what comes up? Is there a sense of trepidation or, oh God, those dark mornings, those dark nights? Is it a sense of heaviness or relief? And to be okay with whatever the answer is, to honor our honesty. For some of us, depending on where we live, it would become dark and cold. Okay. Because after that, it will become light and warm. Right. Allowing, sort of giving ourselves over to the seasonality. Giving ourselves over to the pacing. Giving ourselves over to the idea of what do I need to do now to prepare for the darkness that will soon be much greater than it is now. How can we use this time to take care of ourselves in a way that actually resonates? And as I said before, it's not always easy to know what that is. I'm wanting to offer some space here just to inquire into that. What actually is nourishing to me? Laughter, time with friends, but allowing whatever comes to come. To hold the question as open-ended as possible, perhaps repeating it. What nourishes me? Truly. And to cast a wide net and see what comes. Because this is its own kind of harvest, right? We will need those things at the ready when the darkness becomes greater than the light. Can you imagine perhaps gathering in that fishing net, seeing what's in it, putting it in the basket beside you? To know and identify, oh, right, if I listen to music or I am able to laugh with a friend or meditating or yoga or whatever it is, cooking, the list can be limitless. But it sometimes takes some deliberation to actually identify what it is, such that in times when we're overwhelmed or stressed, or caught in the darkness that seems unending and unbearable, we can reach in to that toolkit for the metaphorical flashlight that can say, yeah, okay, there's a way to come back into balance, back into regulation, back into a place that can allow us to rest in the darkness, but the darkness can be regenerative. And restful rather than terrifying or depressing. And again, just wanting to kind of keep the door open to this invitation. Where are our true refuges? Naming to what we know to be the false ones. That in a pinch, I might go do this, knowing it's not so great. Okay. It's okay. Again, a deeper invitation of allowing ourselves to be gentle with ourselves, with however we show up. Okay, well. Stop there. And thank you for your kind attention. And then to open it up, I'd love to hear from you. Thoughts. And this is also certainly a great time if anyone has any practice questions. I'm happy to answer those. And sometimes it's hard to go from what where we just were to then chatting on Zoom. And you're welcome to place a comment or a question in the chat, and either Tolan and I will read it. And then if, as Tolan and Joe, if you raise your hand, one of the two buttons, and Tolan will call on you and just welcome the chance to hear from you. And as we know, sometimes there's a lot of hands and a lot of people want to talk, and sometimes it's more quiet. And both are good, just sort of allowing the pacing to be what it is. You all know I can keep talking. So just to honor this time for us to learn from each other.